Hello there, I'm Lance, and welcome to Dozing Off. Dozing Off is a podcast where I'm gonna read you to sleep. I'll narrate short stories and classic literature in this deep and relaxing tone to allow you to put your overactive mind at ease and doze off. So my duty this time of year is to get you in the holiday spirit, and that's what we'll do tonight. Tonight's story is titled, The Gift That Keeps On Giving. Thank you for being here tonight. And thank you for making dozing off part of your bedtime routine. Without further ado, let's dive into tonight's story. The Gift That Keeps On Giving. In a small mountain town tucked between two ancient ridgelines, where dawn took its time stretching over pine-shadowed valleys and nights were long and generous, there lived a solitary man named Elias Wynne. He wasn't old, though the lines beneath his eyes made strangers assume he carried more years than he truly had. What he carried was not age, but distance. Distance from the man he once imagined he would become. Elias lived on the edge of town in a warm wooden cabin he had built for himself about two long summers ago. It had taken shape slowly, plank by plank, nail by nail, with hands that had learned patience the hard way. Behind the cabin flowed a mild, whispering river that divided the land into a soft curve. Sometimes in winter the river froze, but most days it moved quietly, like a story speaking only to those who listened. And Elias listened. He listened because silence spoke to him, and because the world inside his own mind was often louder than the world around him. Nights were the hardest. When memory and anticipation tangled, when he felt the press of years he could not get back. Yet, despite the heaviness, Elias had one comfort he returned to every night, a small wooden box that sat on a shelf above his fireplace. It was carved from juniper wood, pale and soft, smelling faintly of pine even decades later. A swirling pattern wrapped around its edges, spirals, waves, and shapes that looked like a rising sun. It had belonged to his grandfather, a man of few words but deep presence. His grandfather had once told him, "This box holds what you need, not what you want. And it will never run out." Elias never fully understood the meaning. He had opened the box many times. Inside always lay the same thing. A single slip of paper, blank, smooth, fresh as if placed there moments ago. Even when he removed it, the next night another waited. His grandfather had said, "It's the gift that keeps on giving." But Elias had long ago assumed it was simply a poetic way of speaking. He used the papers as notes, shopping reminders, to-do lists, things at one point he had hoped would organize his life. But no matter how many he took, a new one always appeared. And in a quiet, sleepy town, That small mystery had stopped feeling like a miracle and simply became part of the fabric of his days. But everything changed one cold night in late December, when the wind moved in strange directions and the clouds above the valley stood perfectly still, as if watching the earth below. It was just past midnight. Elias sat in his favorite chair, an old leather piece his father once owned. The fire had burned low, offering only a faint glow, flickering over the walls like warm shadows dancing. Elias held a cup of chamomile tea, the steam curling toward the rafters. He was just about to close his eyes when came a soft knock. Three taps, gentle, uncertain. He froze. Nobody visited him at midnight. Nobody visited him at all, except the mail courier once a week or the young boy from town who delivered honey and eggs from his family's farm. Elias set down his cup and moved to the door, the wooden floor creaking softly beneath his steps. He opened it slowly. Outside stood a girl no older than 10. She had dark curly hair peeking out beneath a wool hat, cheeks rosy from the cold, and wide brown eyes full of something between fear and hope. "Are you Elias Wynn?" she asked. He nodded, confused. "My name is Mira," she said. I need your help." Now, Elias was not known as someone who helped people. Not because he didn't want to, but because nobody ever asked. He wasn't the town doctor, nor the mailman, nor someone the townsfolk ever relied on. He was quiet, private, a man who spent more time with trees than with people. "Come inside," he said softly. She stepped in, brushing snow from her boots, eyes scanning the cabin like she just entered a temple carved from legend. "So, what brings you here?" Elias asked, kneeling a little to look in her eye. Mira clutched something in her mittened hands, a folded piece of paper. "My brother is sick," she whispered, "and people keep saying you know things, that you have something special, something that doesn't run out." Elias frowned. "I'm afraid people exaggerate. I'm just a man." "But you have the box," Mira said matter-of-factly, as if that explained everything. Elias felt his stomach twist gently. "How do you know about the box?" She hesitated, then held out the slip of paper she'd been carrying. Elias opened it. It was blank. Completely blank. "I found this," she said, "on my brother's pillow tonight. And my grandfather once told me that if a blank paper ever appeared without explanation, I should bring it to you." Elias felt the fire crackle behind him, a small burst of warm light. He didn't know Mira's grandfather. He didn't know anyone's grandfather except his own. And yet, here she was, standing in his cabin in the middle of the night, holding the same kind of paper that appeared in his magical box. "Please," she whispered. "He's getting worse." Elias looked at her for a long moment. Her small hands trembled, not from cold, but from fear. Something about her presence stirred something in him. A memory, a promise, a spark of purpose he hadn't felt in years. "Tell me what happened," he said, and so she did. Mira's brother Jonah had fallen ill 2 weeks prior. At first it was nothing unusual, a cough, a fever, a stubborn cold. But over the days he grew weaker, tired, barely able to stay awake. The town doctor had done what he could, but he was old and limited in supplies. Jonah's condition had worsened tonight, a sharp decline Mira couldn't explain. She said Jonah had woken suddenly, gasping, then coughing violently. When she ran to the room moments later, the blank paper lay on his pillow. "I thought maybe it was a sign," she said quietly. Elias didn't believe in signs, or rather, he didn't trust them. But somewhere deep inside, something tugged at him, a memory of his grandfather placing the box in his young hands. "When the time is right," his grandfather said, "it will give you what someone else needs." Suddenly he understood. The box wasn't meant for him. It never had been. Elias walked to the fireplace, lifted the wooden box carefully, and placed it on the table between them. Mira leaned forward, eyes wide. He opened it. Inside lay a single fresh sheet of paper. Blank, just like hers. "Take it," Elias said. "No," Mira whispered, shaking her head. I think it's for you." Elias hesitated, then lifted the paper from the box. It felt warm, light, as if it had been waiting. "What do I do with it?" Elias asked her softly. "I don't know," she admitted, "but something told me you would." Elias folded the paper once, then again. Beneath his fingertips, it seemed to pulse, almost like a heartbeat. He didn't understand it, but he trusted it, more than he trusted anything else in his life. "Let's go see your brother," he said, rising. Snow had begun to fall harder outside. Thick flakes swirling in snow, dreamlike patterns. Mira led Elias down the trail, her small lantern swinging gently at her side. The sound of their boots crunching in the snow filled the quiet night. "Why did your grandfather tell you about the paper?" Elias asked as they walked. Mira shrugged beneath her wool coat. "He said our family has always been watched over, guided. He said someone keeps the balance, someone filled with quiet magic." She paused. "I always thought he was telling stories." Elias felt a smile tug at the corner of his mouth. Sometimes stories are truer than facts. "Is that why you live alone?" she asked suddenly. "Because you're full of magic?" He chuckled softly. "No, I live alone because I'm not always good at being around people."
"Why not?"
He thought for a long moment. "Because I spent too long believing I had nothing to give." Mira tilted her head, peering up at him. "But that wasn't true." "No," Elias said quietly. "No, I suppose it wasn't." The trail wound between tall pines coated in white, their branches drooping under the weight of winter, Ahead, a faint warm glow appeared, a farmhouse, a lantern lit. "That's my home," Mira said, a voice gaining strength. They approached the small wooden house, smoke curling from its chimney. Inside, the smell of broth and herbs filled the air. Mira's mother sat beside Jonah's bed, her face pale with worry. "He's sleeping now," she whispered, rising when Elias entered. "But he's not improving." Elias stepped to Jonah's bedside. The boy was thin, his breathing shallow. Elias felt something stir inside him, a quiet certainty, an intuition that didn't feel like his own. He unfolded the paper, still blank, still waiting. "What do we do?" Mira asked, standing close to him. Elias didn't answer at first. Instead, he reached into his pocket and pulled out a small carpenter's pencil he always carried. His grandfather used to keep one behind his ear. Elias had inherited the habit. Words came to him, not from thought, but from something deeper. He wrote four simple things. He didn't think. He didn't analyze. He simply knew. When he finished, he placed the paper gently beneath Jonah's hand, folding the boy's fingers over it. "What did you write?" Mira whispered. Elias exhaled slowly. "Hope, strength, rest, return." Jonah's breath shifted, softer, easier, as if something inside him loosened. Mira's mother pressed a trembling hand to her mouth. Elias didn't know if the paper truly had power. He didn't know whether Jonah would recover, but he did know this. For the first time in his life, he felt he had given something that mattered. Something that didn't come from him, but through him. The family insisted Elias stay the night. Mira curled up in a chair near her brother. Her mother dozed against the wall. Elias sat quietly near the fire, watching snow fall gently beyond the window. Hours later, just before dawn, Jonah stirred. His eyes opened. He looked around, confused, but alert. "Where's Mira?" he whispered. The house filled with soft cries, laughter, relief. Jonah recovered quickly in the days that followed. And the story of the blank paper spread through the town like warm smoke. People didn't bother Elias with requests or demands. They simply greeted him differently, with warmth, with gratitude, with recognition. But Elias wanted no attention. He returned to his cabin, to his quiet life, leaving the wooden box exactly where it always been. Then one night, everything changed again. It began simply. A knock on the door, not at midnight, but at sunrise. When Elias opened it, Mira stood there again, bundled in her winter coat. But this time, she wasn't frightened. She was smiling. "Jonah's okay," she said brightly. "I'm glad," Elias said warmly. "I knew he would be. But that's not why I'm here," she said. She stepped aside. Behind her stood three people from the town. A woman who worked at the bakery,
an old man who tended the library, a teenager from the farm up the road. Each held a blank sheet of paper, the same kind that appeared in his wooden box. "We don't need healing," Mira said quietly. "We need words."
"Words?"
Elias asked. "Your words," said the librarian. "The ones that come from that place inside you that listens. The ones you didn't know you had." The teenage boy stepped forward. "My father passed last year. Sometimes I feel lost. The paper showed up last night and I think it was asking me to come here." The baker nodded. "I've been afraid to open my business again after the fire. My blank paper appeared yesterday morning, sitting on my doorstep." Mira looked up at Elias. "You helped Jonah, but maybe that was just the beginning. Maybe the gift wasn't about sickness. Maybe it's about giving people what they need most." The words hit Elias softly, like snowfall settling on pine branches. He didn't fully understand the magic of the box. He didn't understand why the papers appeared. But he understood this. He had spent years believing he had nothing to offer the world. Yet the world kept asking him for something. Not money, not miracles, not perfection. Just presence. Just compassion. Just words drawn from the quiet truth inside him. The gift wasn't the box. The gift was what passed through him when he wrote. And it truly never ran out. So Elias did what he never imagined he would. He invited them in. All four sat around his fireplace. The box sat in the center, its lid open, holding another fresh slip of paper. Elias picked up his pencil. He didn't rush. He didn't worry. He simply listened to each person, to the room, to the silence. One by one, he wrote something small and simple. Not advice, not instructions, just words that came from a place deeper than thought. For the baker, he wrote, "Courage is the warmth you bake into the world. It rises in others when it rises in you." For the old librarian, "Your stories hold time together. Share them, and time becomes a friend again." For the young farm boy, "Grief is love trying to stay. Let it stay. It will shape you into something greater than pain can imagine." And for Mira, he wrote simply, "Hope is a lantern. Thank you for carrying it here." They left with tears, smiles, and quiet gratitude. Word spread, not loudly, not in gossip, but gently, from heart to heart. Soon more people came. Some brought their blank papers, others came with nothing at all but a desire to be seen. Elias wrote for them. Not long letters, just truths. Small, simple, powerful truths. And the more he gave, the more he felt something inside himself unlocking. He slept deeper, breathed easier, walked taller, laughed more. As if the act of giving filled the hollow spaces of his own soul. He realized then, this was the gift that keeps on giving. Not the limitless paper, not the magic, but the act of offering something that makes another person lighter. The gift grew when shared. The more it was used, the stronger it became.